These are the yays of our lives. Busy and happy are not the same thing. We too rarely question what makes the heart sing. We work, then we rest, but rarely we play, and often don't realise there's more than one way. So this is a platform to hear and explore the stories of those who found lives they adore. The good, bad and ugly, the best and worst day, will bear all the facets of seizing your yay. I'm Sarah Davidson, or Spoonful of Sarah, a lawyer turned funtrepreneur who swapped the suits and heels to co-found Matcha Maiden and Matcha Milk Bar. Seize the Yay is a series of conversations on finding a life you love and exploring the self-doubt, challenge, joy and fulfillment along the way. Hello, lovely neighbourhood, coming to you from lockdown for the fourth time. To my fellow Victorians, sending you all my love. And if you've been reading my Dear Diary reflections on socials, you'll know I, as much as anyone, need the reminder to be gentle on yourselves with your response to this round. Whether you're swinging between productivity pressure or beating yourselves up for being the opposite of productive, or between sadness or frustration and guilt for enjoying parts of it, or even beating yourself up for having a reaction at all, because it's only 7 days long, just let go of it all and remember it is totally normal to respond to abnormal situations in an abnormal way. And if the emotions you are sitting in are nonetheless starting to feel really overwhelming, which I'm sure they are because they are for me, this week's quote of the yay is one I pulled from last week's episode with Hugh Van Kylenberg, which I'm so pleased has had an absolute outpouring of love. It's from Raina Marie Rilke. Let everything happen to you, beauty and terror. Just keep going. No feeling is final. And another one I love that's quite similar is actually from Charlie Chaplin. Nothing is permanent in this wicked world, not even our troubles, which I needed today because I've been pretty flat and tired. So I put in a last minute call to two legends I loved chatting with recently, who I knew could lift the energy, Lockie Bradford and Robbie Hicks, who are the hosts of a fabulous podcast, Funny Business, for free thinkers and creators exploring business, culture and performance in Australia. Lads, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having us, Sarah. It's exciting to chat again. When did we speak last? It was maybe a few months ago now, but it left a lasting impression, didn't it, Rob?
100%. I just feel a bit like we need to pick up our intro game hard.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That was 10 out of 10, I reckon.
Oh, it's only because you guys are here. I literally have tried to record this about three times this morning. Like I said, I called these guys maybe an hour and a half ago. I mean, how much are you embracing spontaneity?
Oh, we're very available. You know what I mean? We sit there and we're always ready, always available. If you want us on any show, just slide into our DMs. We're ready.
Yeah, it's not hard to turn up when you've got nothing on.
Oh, I love you guys. I'm sure you're in high demand. You know, don't play it too cool.
Oh, no, it was good. We had a productive morning, didn't we, Rob? And then
on Mondays, we have our team meeting for our business. So the two of us and the third founder of our business, Tammy Martin. And last week was a bit funny because we set this one for 8 o'clock, and Tam's not a morning person. And last week she was all grumpy because she turns up about 8:30 and she's like, oh, who booked this? And she's the one who booked it in. And today we got to sit down and push back the start time on a Monday morning back into lockdown and just cruised into the Monday morning. So life's good.
Well, I had such a blast with you guys last time, like just such good chats. I mean, you're so good to chew the fat with. So I thought you'd make the perfect guest to bring the yay game back while I'm feeling a bit flat. How are you guys feeling? And what do you think of the quote about, you know, feelings not being final and that, you know, this will end?
Yeah, I think it's an important message. I mean, for a long time, I've always felt like I'd want to experience all the feelings that life has to offer. So whether that's sadness, loneliness, happiness, enjoyment, all the good stuff and the bad stuff, I think, I suppose, just embracing the ambiguity and uncertainty, I think it's a good thing. I mean, it's a hard thing to wrap your head around. I mean, I'm sure we've all heard stories about our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and with the war and all that sort of stuff. And growing up, I felt pretty lucky, you know. Now something like this hits and it's like shit, like it can definitely, things, big things can happen to anyone. So I think it's a reality check, I suppose.
I've never heard you be so deep. I'm impressed. Everyone's blowing me away today. I'm being blown away.
I had a shower beforehand and I rehearsed it in my head, you know, so there you go.
Oh, but that's what I love about you two and your pod. It's so amazing how you bring like real conversational banter. I mean, two Torquay blokes who love the surf and can just, you know, like I said, chew the fat, but also cover like really serious, deep topics and make them really engaging. I think you guys are so great at that.
I love it. How good a compliment.
We love compliments. But yeah, I was talking about Hugh, like we were lucky to have Martin Heppel on from the Resilience Project. And I think that as we're saying at the moment, there's such weird things. I can safely say that I'm not the best at letting emotions pass. And I've been holding on to a couple of things lately where it's important for me. Like I've been for a surf today, which has been good. I got out and I refreshed a little bit and shook it off. Locke's gone for a walk, but finding time to letting yourself do shit like that has always been, it's been helpful. And now like going back into lockdown again, I've realized I didn't really do anything the last 2 days.
Mm.
I just let you're still allowed out for exercise and stuff.
Mm. Mm. But I just think, yeah, like it's been a resetter, hasn't it? Like you think things are going to be flowing again, especially after the last lockdown. I think like you just think, you know, things are starting to sort of come to some sort of normalcy, but yeah, it's just sort of keeps happening. So it makes me really feel like you sort of have to embrace that adaptive mindset, I suppose, because who knows? Like it's out of our control. It's a world issue. It's not, I know, embracing uncertainty is key. I think, especially if you're an entrepreneur and you're a creator and you're doing stuff as well, like that's what the job is, isn't it? Like, you know, just as much as anyone, Sarah, how, you know, embracing uncertainty and how feelings are temporary. You go up and down, don't you?
Oh my God, such a roller coaster. Mm. But I also love what you said about sometimes some feelings are really hard to let go of, but it is important to let yourself have them, because another quote I saw the other day that I thought was really valuable is you can't recover from your feelings if you don't acknowledge that you have them. And I went straight this time, like, because my podcast is all joy and resilience, that, you know, we just had the Resilience Project as literally the episode last week. My first reaction was, well, keep it together. You know, you've got to spread the joy. And how can you be productive? Like, what, you know, live conversations can you host? And let's be prolific for the next few days. And same as you, this time I was like, actually, I was really productive last time, but this time I'd feel the need to just not do anything and to be fine. Like I get frustrated sometimes when I have a reaction, because I get like, you're supposed to be really joy focused and resilient. You've got quotes to, you know, get you through this. But if you let yourself feel what you're feeling, it does pass, because you kind of let it wash over you and then remember that you'll come through it, but not try and rush that either. Like sometimes you just got to wallow in it.
Yeah, it's the process. You got to get through it and understand what it feels like and how do I adapt and learn for the next time? You know, if you just push it aside, it's just going to bubble up, isn't it? Like I've been known to bubble up. I'm a bubble up type of cat. So for me, it's, you know, like day by day, just let these things go. Like I feel like I'm very on and then off, you know, but I feel like it needs to be a bit level up maybe. I don't know. I'm a popper. What are you, Rob?
Papa, yeah, I'm a bit the same. I'll go into like obsessive compulsive and I'll be like 5 days straight of like focus on some shit. And then by the weekend, which was like when they announced we're going back into lockdown, I'll admit the first few days I had the feeling of like relief. Mm. You know, I was like, oh, all right, fuck, I get a bit of a break. You know, it came at a good time. Spew, when we get to miss your birthday, Locke. Mm. It was Locke's 30th on the weekend. And he was meant to have a bit of a party, a bit of a boogie.
Yeah, a bit of a shindig plan. But you know what? You can't plan. That was a lesson I learned. Don't plan. Mm. No, but I got spoiled. I had a good day. Like Robbie came around with Em and gave us her homemade lasagna and heaps, a box of snacks, really, like chomps, natural confectionery.
So specific, like a chomp.
Have you had a chomp lately?
I fucking love chomps. But the inflation, like they've gone from 30 cents to like $1.80. I'm like, what?
Have
what
they
is
really?
That? Yeah. When you buy them individually.
There's not much in them.
Not much in them, right? There's a lot of air, but they're so good. So good.
Well, that's you must have spent a fortune then, because there was a few chomps in the box.
It's your dirty 30. You got to invest, you know?
I know. But I think I'll make up for it. I think I'll have a party in summer. So obviously you're invited and yeah, I'll make up for it. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, no, he's not hard done by. Let's be honest.
No, I'm not hard done by. I got lots of good presents and got lots of love. So, you know, I can't complain here.
Isn't that the weird thing though? I've kind of felt the same in terms of a little bit of feeling of relief. And then I got really frustrated at myself. Like, you can't just keep relying on lockdowns to save you from bad decisions. Like, how has it taken you four of these to figure out how to schedule better? You can't use this to save you. You can't keep waiting for a lockdown to like save you from stuff and then be relieved when it cancels your plans rather than you having to do it yourself.
But it feels, don't you feel like when you're building something and you're in it, like you don't see it. Like, I reckon that's what experience is when you look back and go, oh, I could have chilled out there, but when you're thinking, oh, I don't see it as the success that it already is, you know, like if I'm slacking off or doing some shit that's not contributing to what I really want to do, then I feel like I'm cheating myself sometimes, but I need to fill that cup up. You know, I need to, it's hard to realize that when you're in, you're so deep in the work, and like things like lockdown snap you out of it because you have to,
yeah.
You know, it forces you to, but it's a hard thing to balance, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. And we discussed this last time. I am very, very honored to be the Funny Business Fairy Yay Mother. And yeah, we spoke all about Play-Dee-Yay and you boys committed to making time for more yay. And particularly when you are sitting in an emotion, like sometimes the light at the end of the tunnel is, I feel shit today, tomorrow it'll be gone, you know, and it'll be a fresh day and I'm going to have energy to like do something joyful again. So give us the report. I mean, how have you been going?
Well, for me personally, I've taken up the luxury of having a bath every day. No bubbles or anything like that, but just...
But you're a bubbler. You just said that.
I'm a bubbler, but not in the bath. You know,
like, are you sure?
Like a flat, clear water, you know?
Flat and clear. Nowhere to hide.
Nowhere to hide. No, it's good. So I honestly, that's sort of the fourth thing that breaks up for me, where it's like I go for a walk, but for like an hour a day, I've got the same sort of walk every day, which is a bit strange. And then I'll have a bath, but because I don't surf or anything like that. I can't be stuffed taking up like a new skill and practicing so hard with something. I just want to relax. So what better way to relax than have a bath and listen to podcasts and read books and stuff. So for me, that's what I've been doing. So thank you for inspiring me. Since our podcast that we've done together, you've really got me into gear. So I thank you for that.
I am really proud.
He's really, really, you don't understand how much he's taken this new habit on. So much so that a couple of weekends ago, it was like Monday at about 2:30 PM. I called him, I saw his bald head just in the, and he's all wet. I'm going, what the fuck? What are you doing? And he's like, I'm in the bath. I'm just playing LinkedIn. I'm in the bath. I was like, do what you do, mate.
Yes, you do you, mate. You do you.
Lucky I've got a good boss, hey, Sarah. Lucky he's very flexible, allows me to be me, you know. But what you were telling people, and they're like, what the fuck? He's like, oh, that's just Locke. And then you're like, hang on, we can't just let him get away with this.
Yeah, that's what I was like, hang on a minute. Like, because I was in the middle of, I was working, I was pumping things out, I was like sending him an email or whatever. I'm like, oh, no, Locke's just doing it. He's in the bath. I'm thinking, hang on.
Just doing his mental health, you know, it's important.
Yeah, just leave me alone, Rob. What have you been doing?
I've been going, leave me alone. I've been going surfing more. I've been trying to focus on getting it out more into the water. I notice that if I have, say there's like a bad spell of weather and it's like a shit few days a row, I don't really like substitute it with any other exercise. Like that's my form of exercise. I walk the dog and shit, but not like, wouldn't put the runners on and go for a run. You know what I mean? So lately the surf's been around, so I've been doing a bit more exercise and feeling good. So that's been nice.
What about you, Sarah? What have you been doing?
I've been the same as you, having baths. Like I am such a fan, and Nick's really like, you're stewing in your own filth kind of thing. I'm like, A, how dirty do you think I am? Although to be fair, I just came back from the Northern Territory and I didn't shower for 7 days. So I get that. B.
Straight in the bath, was it?
Straight in. Straight in. I have a bath every day, no shit. Like it is such a ritual of, and I used to go in there and take, like you said, a podcast, but I'd take like a finance podcast or some kind of learning self-development-y podcast and then think I was relaxing, but my brain would be buzzing. So now I have to take only fiction books and like no screen. It's just so nice. And I just soak in there. But I'm all bubbles, like bubbles and Radox and all the nice like smelling things.
I'm a big fan of Radox. You never had Radox?
What is that? No, what do you mean?
This is like if you're a man who's just turned to bars, you don't want Radox. Radox is heaven for bath lovers.
I haven't done any research, man. I just turn the water on and jump in. What do you mean? What's Radox?
You're like Chandler from Friends. You know when he has that? Do you guys watch it?
Yeah.
My Mrs. Tales loves Friends. Like it's on every single second of the day. So I would have had no choice but to watch it. Yeah.
I'm not allowed to watch the reunion. Nick's in Tassie and I'm not allowed to watch it till he gets back. And I feel like I'm disconnected from society because I don't understand all the memes and it's making me really upset.
You should watch it and then just pretend you didn't and watch it. It's worth watching it again, I reckon.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, can I do that? I mean, is it worth the divorce? Maybe. But you're like Chandler, how he steals Monica's bath and she gives him a little boat to make it a boy bath.
Yeah. That I remember that. I remember that episode. Yeah. No, it is. Maybe I might take on your approach and light some candles and get some bubbles in and maybe, what is it? The Epsom salt. I'll get that.
Radox muscle soothe bath salts. There you go.
Oh, there you go. I'll be having one of them bad boys tonight. Don't worry about that.
What else have you guys been doing for yay? Like given that we're quite limited, I feel like you actually just get really creative about joyful things to do. I've been sleeping in a lot.
I've been eating a lot of hash browns lately.
Key strategy.
We live, both Locke and I live around, like, because we live so close to each other, but we also live very close to the closest McDonald's. And my wife is she's pregnant at the moment, and she's annoying, she
didn't feel like cook. I didn't know that. Oh
yeah,
my gosh.
We just found out. So she's stoked, but one of her biggest cravings has been hash browns. And every time I go be a good husband, and
you have to ask me twice to go there
and get hash browns.
You're the hash brown monster, bro. You're the one who do you love how we just thrown her under the bus there?
Oh, she's my pregnant. God.
I've never seen her eat a hash brown, Rob, ever. You liar.
He's gone out in sympathy. You know how like some husbands get like sore boobs and then they get all the cravings. Yep. Congratulations, how exciting.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we're stoked. It's pretty good news. We're just wrapped. It's gonna change our world for sure. Because Locke's got a couple of sisters who are pregnant at the moment, due similar sort of time. There's just babies everywhere.
Yeah, babies everywhere. So I'm gonna learn from everyone else's mistakes and then just put a little notebook out and go bang, bang, bang. That's what I'm gonna do when we finally decide. But it's exciting times. There's a bit, you know, there's life. There's life around us.
Oh, so much life.
Maccas does make us happy though. I think that could be a collaborative sort of answer, couldn't it? Maccas makes us happy.
That's a play to you.
That's a play to you. Pond cafe, the coffee at Pond's nice. What else do we like? We just like eating and brunching.
Yeah, we're pigs. I think that's what it's awful. You know, we like
that's not awful.
The Japanese joint.
No, you eat like your Bill's feelings. It's fine.
Hot chips are great.
Yeah. Oh, what's it? Bill's Mediterranean Shack. You got to go there if you're ever in Torquay. Don't worry about the kebabs. Just get the hot chips. They're so good. $7, bit of a rip, but it's worth it.
Oh, the thrills of a small town. Also, Locke, how do you not surf in Torquay? Did we talk about this?
Yeah, I was always a pretender. Like when growing up, I didn't live anywhere near the beach, but I worked at Jetty Surf, the surf shop. I had like a good performance board. I had all the posters, but I had no idea.
All the gear and no idea.
Yeah, hey, so I'm just embracing the culture.
Tell the story about how you got your job.
it's cringe. So I used
spit
to
spit it out.
Yeah, well, I was working at the cricket center at the time. I was like 15, 16 or whatever, first job. And then my cousin was visual merchandiser for Jetty Surf. And anyway, she's like, you should get a job at Jetty Surf. So I walked in, saw the manager, Marty, and he was just like, what have you been doing this morning, mate? And I go, just checking the swells, man. And he's most cringe thing I've ever done in my life, I reckon. But I got the job, so there you go.
It worked. Oh, my God. You got the lingo. So I'm the same. I'm not a surfer. I love surfing. And, I'll get up pretty quickly because I used to be a dancer, so I have good balance. But, yeah, by no means a professional surfer. But I'll come out of the water and be like, man, those waves were so gnarly. And I'll just throw shuckers at everyone. People give me so much shit for just throwing shuckers, and they'll count how many in one trip that I'll do. I just, I can't help it, you know? You got to act the part.
Yes.
So speaking of Torquay and your neighborhood, that brings us to the neighborhood watch section of Yays of Our Lives. Have you guys seen anything lovely around? I feel like the pandemic is so hard and lockdown is so consuming and awful, but it brings out really nice like acts of kindness or beautiful small things out in the community. Have you seen anything that made you smile?
Have you seen the new signs, Rob, around town where it's like stop and it says about the community, like because
my mum crosses the road here.
Yeah, I really love that.
They've done these slow signs down.
Yeah, around town, and it's, I don't know if it's it's the council thing, yeah,
local council thing. So they're trying to on the main strip, they're trying to make sure people don't speed on the main strip, and the signs are slow down because my mum crosses here or such and shit like that.
It really puts it into perspective. Like it tells a bit more of a story, makes you feel like, hang on, maybe I shouldn't be. It's a good way to I think it worked. It's working.
Oh, that's so nice.
It is nice.
Other than that,
there's a really nice down near Janjak Main Beach on the fence of the golf course, which lines up the car park. There's a big heart in all these different, like, I don't know if they're like hair clips or some shit, but they did a big heart and it was like rainbow colors when we first went into lockdown. That was pretty nice.
Oh, it's so cute. I feel like people make an extra effort. Like I was walking home from walking the dog the other day and someone had made like a Wizard of Oz treasure hunt in their garden and they'd left like laminate. They clearly had a laminator at home. Like who even has that? But they'd laminated all the signs, like follow the story, and you could find all the characters in the trees. It was clearly for other kids, but I had a great time playing Wizard of Oz by myself. It was amazing.
I love that. That's like, you know, that we're like Christmas time and there's that family that loves the fucking lights. They just go over the top and you're like,
They would do anything for anyone, wouldn't they? Like, that's such a good family.
There's actually a couple of videos, maybe it was a couple of years ago, of these families in the States who have those massive ones, like all over three levels of house, and they make it like the lights timed to Skrillex.
Oh, I've seen that.
It's that's so amazing. Good. It's amazing. Yeah.
Love that.
On a very different note, my neighborhood watch for this week was, I found it on the internet, maybe 3 weeks ago, this amazing guy in the London neighborhood, actually, who is a hairdresser. And one day he was walking to work and saw a homeless guy just sitting there who he'd seen, you know, many times, and was like, his hair looked, you know, a bit matted. Why don't I just, he had all this stuff in his backpack, and was like, why don't I just give him a haircut? So he sat down, gave this guy a haircut, and saw the confidence change in someone, A, stopping to have a conversation, but B, like looking more like a you know, member of society. And it gave him such a sense of like seeing someone's transformation that he now travels the world giving homeless people haircuts and has started this movement called Do Something for Nothing. And he wrote a book about it. And it just made me so, like, I almost cried looking at some of the, he's taken all these before and after photos. Like, he often takes a local photographer with him and just gets photos of these people and lets them tell their story, which he's turned into a book. I forgot to say his name's Joshua Coombs. And just people in society who are quite invisible to everyone else. He'll sit down and like give them a haircut and they leave feeling seen. But also the stories, it's so fascinating that so many of them were us, but one step removed of just losing their job or one bad decision, and none of them ever expected to be homeless. Oh my God. It was like, the world needs more people like you. What a legend.
Oh, I know. I reckon I've heard about his work.
Yeah, I've heard that story too.
Doing that sort of stuff. You can really make a difference and an impact. That's changing people's lives. That's giving people confidence. We need to get him on our podcast, man. He sounds like a fucking legend.
He quit his job and now he travels the world. I think, where is the book? I think it's in here somewhere. He was actually in Melbourne. When was he in Melbourne? Just before COVID, because one of the chapters is on Melbourne. So he did obviously the UK, then he went to the US, he did San Fran, New York, LA, he did Skid Row in LA, and tells these beautiful stories of families who feel so lucky because they have a tent on Skid Row as opposed to people who don't have a roof. Like the gratitude and themes that came out of it. But he did, have you guys heard of Homie? H-O-M-I-E?
Yeah, love Homie. Marcus Crook, bro. Big fan of his work. And
so they did a collab. They did a Homie art gallery auction thing when he was here. And I don't know how I didn't hear of it when he was actually here. It was like February this year.
Yeah.
And there's a whole chapter about Melbourne as well. It was like just so beautiful. And his Do Something for Nothing movement is now, like for him it was hairdressing, but his whole premise is it doesn't have to be hairdressing, obviously. It's just all of us have a skill that we can use to start a conversation with someone who never gets heard and never gets made like anyone sees them.
Yeah.
But
it's a hectic, I always think about that stuff all the time, people living on the streets, especially at times like this. And it's like, it's not always what you think. It's not always drugs. And who cares? Like everyone, we all do drugs. We all drink. We all like, you know what I mean? Like they're no different than us. It's just one bad mistake or whatever. It's pretty crazy. I think people have a bit of a bad stigma around the homeless and you know, or whatever. But, you know, you just never know people's situations and how they get stuck in these, you know, these places.
Well, big shout out to Homie too. Big fan. I'm just spewing. Did Marcus hold back and not tell us that when we had him on the pod, or what's going on here?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, holding back some information there. I don't know. Maybe we didn't do a good enough job of interviewing him. Maybe. Probably should have researched a bit harder, Rob, you know?
So that's what I feel like, yeah. But I hope it happened after the pod, because I'm thinking, fuck, that would have been a good thing to touch on.
What was his episode like?
Oh, really good. Like he was talking about like even they hold the VIP days for the homeless that come in and they can pick the Homie clothes. So it's not like, hey, here's the charity, here's some clothes, wear this. It's like pick your style. You know what I mean? Like you don't just get given shit. You know what I mean? Like you choose what you want to look like and how you want to, you know, appear. And I just think that's fucking cool. You know,
even their program, how they're creating jobs for people who may need entry into jobs who might from hard backgrounds and stuff like that. They're just doing really, really inspiring shit. There needs to be more people in the world like what they're doing.
I know. And that's why I love this segment so much, because Neighborhood Watch makes me go and have to find something every week that, you know, other people might not know is happening, or that you might not know that you could be part of, or that you could, you know, donate to or whatever. There's just so much cool stuff that people are doing out there to give people voices or a platform that don't have it themselves. And I was just like, shit, man, there is an incredible incredibly overwhelming amount of homelessness out there, but most people switch off to it because it is a bit stigmatized and because you don't often know. Like, a lot of his book is about how to broach a conversation because you often don't know what to ask or how to make people feel comfortable or even how to help them because you just, it's so awkward, sort of like, so breaking down those barriers, like, yeah, what a legend. And I can't wait to listen to your episode with Homie too. Do you guys have a favorite?
Oh, well, besides you, obviously.
I mean, obviously. Yeah. That was implied.
Yeah, so if you want to dig into our podcast, make sure you check out the podcast with you first. we've had, like yourself, we've been lucky enough to interview and meet so many amazing people. We just feel so lucky and grateful that we get to do this. And it's hard to really nail down like one, but Matt Adekonya was a good one for me. I just like what he's doing. He does all the content for the Aussie Boomers, and he does like Paddy Mills Media. He's head of content there. But he said on our podcast he wanted to do a TV series, and in like 3 or 4 months he'd done one on the Gold Coast, released it on Fox Sports and KO and shit. Could go on forever. Adriana Zumbo was good. Erica Gerardsu, you know, well,
bloody love her. She's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many good people. It's really hard to narrow it down for me, but they're probably the ones that just stick out. Liam Scanlon as well. I don't know. What about you, Rob?
Well, it's hard to top some of the ones you rattled off there, but I think another one that we had at our live, Alex Zachariah, getting to chat to him, that was just I think when we chatted to him, we got introduced to him, was about November last year, and that was when Linktree was just starting to go bananas.
Oh.
And they were going through a raise process, and since that time, like, they're pretty much going to be the biggest tech company in Australia, or the fastest growing tech company in Australia right now, by hands down, by country mile. And seeing him and hearing like the pressure that he was under and the team was under to get to the point they're at now, and then seeing some of the payoffs that they're able to do, that to me, that's like, it's like an Addict Ponya story a little bit.
Oh, amazing.
What about you? Oh, you've had so many good ones. I listened to the one with Tim Diamond, I think it was.
He's he's such a cool guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like asking someone to choose their favorite child, right? Like, it's so difficult because they're all so interesting in different ways. But I think in terms of like what was the most personally enjoyable, the most like pinch me was definitely Gary V. Like, that was just what
you interviewed
even...
Gary V.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
I know.
How was he like? Was he on his phone the whole time?
No. He was amazing. So he did 3 interviews in Melbourne. I don't know why he said yes to mine, but he walks in and he's like not even looking in front of him. Like, he's being shepherded by his people because he's on his phone. But the minute he sits down, puts it face down, gives you 100% of his attention. For the 27 minutes I had, like, it was like he was looking through me into my brain. One of the biggest takeaways from that, and Nick was there as well, actually, and he was like, if Gary V can give us his full attention when we are no one to him, then we can be better at giving people our full attention and not being on our phones and stuff. Like, he'll be on it right up until the minute, and he was on it straight away after.
Yeah.
But it was fascinating that he actually was like so engaged, and I knew I only had a small amount of time. I think why I like it as well, because it required the most of me as an interviewer. I had to try and find questions that he hadn't answered a million times, because I wanted to start by saying, like, you guys can find his story anywhere else. Go to every other podcast. He's done bajillions of interviews. So I just asked him all these random questions, and he was like, I have never answered any of these before. And because of that, he put it on his podcast, because that he'd never answered the questions before. And that's where you kind of, I liked it because it was such a challenge, and because I was interested, like, selfishly. I was like, I want to know these things.
Oh, he's amazing, isn't he? And I think it's the same thing that people say about Michael Jordan, isn't it? It's the presence, or when you're there, they're really present. They're really like looking at the situation, really like delving into what you're saying. It takes a skill, doesn't it? Because especially being involved in creating different things, you've always got different things on the go. So things are pinging and popping all the time. So I feel like, yeah, it is hard sometimes to really focus. And that's a very important skill, isn't it?
Yeah, I was just, so impressed by how attentive he was and mindful in the moment to something that, like, I didn't even think he'd listen to again, you know, but he makes you think like you're the most important person in that minute. And it was absolutely amazing. And the other one was and I've said this a lot of times because I'm obsessed with him, the guy, well, probably Hugh Van Kylenberg is one of, just recently has become one of my absolute favorites, because he's just so funny and so self-deprecating. Like, the first thing he talks about is how when he first went out in teaching was that all the girls in the class asked him why his eyes were so googly, and how he looked in the mirror one day and was like, oh, I didn't know I look like that. Like, he's just so funny and self-deprecating, but so brilliant. But the one that I thought was like, this has nothing to do with Yay, except that you guys know I'm passionate about the unique way that our talents and interests intersect. So the Australian of the Year from 2019 is the cave diver who rescued the 13 boys in the Thai cave. And I just wanted to know more about that because I was fascinated. I was like, A, ew, why do you want to dive in water that you can't see through? That's super claustrophobic. Why is that your hobby? Explain.
Yeah.
And B, like, tell me everything that actually happened that we don't know about. And his day job is as an anaesthetist and his hobby is technical cave diving. And in the entire world, he was the only person who could do the technical dive to get in and sedate the boys. So in terms of people thinking their combination of what makes them yay is weird, I was like, always believe that someone out there needs your exact fusion, because he had to dive 3 kilometers in water that was coffee colored, in tunnels that touched the top and the bottom. So they had to carry their oxygen not on their back. They had to like float it behind them. Took 3 hours to get in, minimum. And then he had to teach the only other 5 divers in the world who could get in and out how to inject the boys with ketamine so that they wouldn't freak out. So they had to be completely sedated. Oh, and then the other Australian of the Year who won it with him is his diving friend, who's a vet, who could do it because he's a vet and ketamine's a horse tranquilizer. Yeah. I was just like, tell me everything.
Talk about compound skills. Hey,
right?
You never know, do you? That's what, is it skill stacking? Is there a book about skill stacking or something like that where it's like, you might not be the best at this one thing, but you could be the best combination of all these things. Is that a book or an article or something?
Well, if it's not, it should be, yeah.
I was just about to say, mate, copyright that shit right now.
I reckon.
Stacking is an amazing concept.
I reckon I've read it. I'll claim it though. So
I'm just Googling it.
There'll be a short course coming.
Just in case.
Yeah. No, it is. Like, I don't know. Never really think about, like, there's so much to think about, isn't there?
I always just think, like, for every single person, someone out there is looking for exactly what you have. So before you give up what you think is really weird and really, like, those two skill sets are totally relevant to each other until they're not. So just keep pressing on with whatever lights you up, because someone will need it one day.
Maybe his hobby was injecting himself and then going diving. But you'd just be floating, wouldn't you? You'd just be cruising, wouldn't you? It'd be like Calypso Beach down, what's the, is it Dreamworld down the Gold Coast? You just float around.
Yeah, it was just, yeah, so interesting. So fascinating. And then there's Elon Musk, like, trying to put a submarine and drill a hole, and he was just like, fuck, everyone thought he was such a hero doing all this stuff, but a human didn't fit in the hole, so like a submarine wasn't going to fit in there. He was just throwing out all these useless things, and oh yeah, it was just amazing. Really interesting.
Elon Musk is doing rocket launches and shit, wasn't he? He's doing everything.
Yeah. Got a finger in every pie.
Talk about shock jock, shock belly. I wish we could just build whatever we want. That'd be the dream, wouldn't it?
Yeah. What would you build? I would build a teleportation machine so that when we can travel again, you can just like be there.
Where would you go first?
Oh, Italy.
Yeah. For the pasta, pizza.
Yeah, the beaches, that like whole just life is beautiful. You know, this thing. Like, yeah, no one can see what I'm doing, but you know the Italian hand thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like that.
Bellissima.
Teleportation machine. Do you reckon people are working on something like that now?
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. Okay. So my recommendation for this week, which is the next section I was just about to ask you guys about, is Annie Jacobson, interviewed by Joe Rogan a couple of times, actually. Yeah. She wrote the comprehensive history on Area 51 and how the B-52 bombers were in development and in the skies in like the 60s. So the technology has been around since well before we ever thought it was possible. But she blew the lid on the whole thing. And it is so interesting what the government has been able to do for decades. It's amazing. You should read it. She's written like 5 books, but the interview in typical Joe Rogan fashion is like 3 hours long. But it kind of is a summary of the aliens and the UFOs and all the stuff about. She interviewed the main guy who had the most information, who worked in Area 51. It's so, oh my God, it's so good.
Do you reckon they're real? Do you reckon the aliens are real?
Is that Bob Lazar?
Bob Lazar, yeah.
Get my tinfoil hat out.
You could talk, what was the, you go, the space race is on. I remember last month we were going to get coffee. Dono. And you're like, the space race is on.
I think it is. But I'm not going to go into that because I don't want anyone to hear my opinion. I'm a random idiot.
I think you're crazy.
Well, it's really interesting because they talk about the Roswell incident and how a lot of the sightings were bombers and things that they were testing that they didn't want anyone to know existed. So they let a lot of the UFO theories come out and just fester in society because they were like, well, it's better than them knowing that we've invented these bombers that can't be detected by radar and are flat. So people did see things that were flying, but and like some of them are unexplained, but a lot of them they were just like, yeah, we know exactly what that was. You weren't supposed to see it.
Oh, so we'll just let you think there's actually was Neil deGrasse Tyson on Joe Rogan recently too, and I think yeah. I saw a clip of him saying there was so much there's with footage and all that now, like if you can't, if there's not one single shred of footage of that, like it's impossible to kind of believe because we record fucking everything, you know?
Mm. I was disappointed. It makes you think, I was disappointed when he said that.
Yeah,
I
knew
you. Know? You're gunning for the aliens, aren't you?
Well, I am, but his series are about like when he does his series called The Universe, whatever it's called, like his whole thing is think bigger, expand your possibilities or whatever. Now he's on there, he's crushing my hopes and dreams about meeting an alien one day, you know? They're not real.
Well, they're not green and they don't just float around. I just reckon aliens are
You don't know that, yeah, Mark. You don't know that.
I don't know that. But like the cartoons and all the movies that we're seeing, do you reckon they are like that or do you reckon they're just different? Like an alien could be a fucking plant, you know?
Could be a plant. Could be a plant.
Could be a car. Could be a Tesla.
Could be a Tesla.
I don't know. I'm losing it.
Could be an iPhone.
Could Who be knows? An iPhone.
Who knows?
Who knows? Steve Jobs is on Uranus now, I reckon, just looking on his iPad going, look at these nothing.
What are your recommendations, guys? Have you watched or read or seen anything that made you smile?
Well, I got some presents over the weekend. So I got two new books by the School of Life, which I love.
Yeah. Amazing.
Big fan of all their work. So I got the new book, Calm. And relationships. So maybe I should take the hint. That's from Tales, my girlfriend. So thanks for that. I'm going to be reading that for the next like couple of months. I don't know.
Some subtle hints being dropped over in your household. Yeah. That's fine.
What about you, Rob?
To be honest, I was trying to think of a book or something that I've been so slack with like consuming stuff lately that I haven't been anywhere near a book. I've just been watching. I've been watching TV. I've been really digging back into like Peaky Blinders, a TV show.
Yes.
And the new season's just been, I think they've just finished recording or they're talking about when it's going to come out now. So I'm back up to date for the second time and I'm waiting for the next season to come out. So if it could come out sooner rather than later, that'd be much appreciated.
I love Peaky Blinders.
What about you? What have you been? What have you been listening
to? Oh, gosh. Well, any of those Annie Jacobson things I love. And I've just this lockdown been really into these historical fiction books by Kate Quinn. She wrote it's not a trilogy, they're all separate, but they're kind of similar. Based on real characters, they're the female codebreakers, female spies, and female pilots in the First and Second World War. And so she weaves these fictional stories in about like real women who turned out to have worked at Bletchley Park and helped break the Enigma. And it's just so fascinating, like so separate to my actual day job that I just love either crime or war stories. It's my jam.
Ooh, do you like that? You're into the true crime pods as well. Do you like all that?
Love. Yeah, it's weird. Nick's like, why do you go to sleep to serial killers? I'm like, I don't know. It just really calms me down. It's kind of nice.
Well, I reckon you would have graduated. Dexter vibes. What's that?
Dexter vibes.
Yeah. Did you graduate from like the Law and Order SVU? Like I used to watch that every night. Yeah, I think that's just the same type of crowd, isn't it? The ones who like the Law and Orders and the Criminal Minds and all that.
Yeah. Sort of NCIS. Like you just gradually, you know, get more and more intense as your tolerance gets higher.
Good, isn't it? I need something a bit more gruesome.
Oh, thank you so much, guys, for joining. This was such a joy. You've literally brightened my day. Thank you so much. And hopefully we can do it again soon and send you guys lots of love.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for thinking of us and shooting the shit with us. It's always good catching up with you, Sarah. Thank you so much.
I'll make sure to include all the links to Funny Business as well. And if you guys have any kind of gateway drug episode you recommend people start with, I'll pop a link to that as well.
I reckon your one. Bang. Give them what they want.
Done.
Give them what they want.
Thanks, guys.